Liberty World. Liberty World. Radio.
Hi.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Ooh, push that button.
The Crazy Boys are back, but we are on the road today. We're up in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. I'm here with Stephen Pickford. I'm Willem Baggis. We have Jeff Eidelman and Idelson, and we have Ed Anders with us.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Art Farley up in Montreal. On low power, I hope.
Hopefully, that's like everything else. Low power. Good morning, Stephen Pickford, coming to you from the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, one of these dream destinations people always have to make their
pilgrimage. It's like a pilgrimage to Mecca that they do.
Yes, the baseball fans are lining up to get in. It's a summertime tradition to come down to Cooperstown from wherever you live in the United States or Canada. It's just 70-something miles west of Albany, and so easy to get to Albany these days with the debut of service in early May by Southwest Airlines.
Absolutely.
7 flights a day out of Baltimore as their main East Coast hub, and 1 nonstop a day out of their Las Vegas hub, which connects our listeners, for example, in Reno on KXTO, connect over Las Vegas, and you're into Albany, and an hour or so west on Highway 20, down on Highway 80, and you're here.
And those of us in Koho, Honolulu, listening to us, 1170 Honolulu.
Then you just have to make sure you get to Baltimore. I guess you'd take a northwest would be your best way.
Absolutely.
Honolulu to Minneapolis, Minneapolis on to Albany.
It is a really nice town, and it's best driven out here on the 80. You can get here on the thruway and then go down, but if you take Highway 80 and then...
And Highway 20, which is the main... It used to be called it was the thruway. It was the main highway from east-west in the original 1920s, 30s highway building period. And you pass through small towns, and there's little shops and boutiques and cafes and historical sites. All worth stopping off, makes it more of a vacation experience.
And like any trip that we've ever been on, we have found a few occasional surprises that you wouldn't necessarily expect here in Cooperstown. We got one coming for you up following the 11:30 break, a lady named Wendy Weeks. Ask us about that a little later on. Be that as it may, we also have another treat for you coming after the first break, but we'll leave that for you. It's in the baseball spirit, right here in the courtyard of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And we are handing out Liberty Works Radio Network bumper stickers to anybody who wants one, or 10, or 15, or 20. Give them out to your friends because we want to promote liberty across the land here.
And you can tune in wherever you are if you're on the road or in a city that doesn't have Liberty Works programming on the internet at www.libertyworksradio.com.
If your station is not picking up Liberty Works, it ought to.
And you should give a call to your local general manager and ask him
Definitely.
To inquire about it.
Among other things here, it's a nice small town. Apparently, very easy to walk around in. We're within a 5-minute walking distance from our bed and breakfast. Two lovely bed and breakfasts have hosted us here in Cooperstown. One of us the Landmark and the other one the Barnwell Inn, which we will get into a little bit later on in the program. But they're just wonderfully renovated houses. 1850, yours is 1856.
1856 for the Landmark Inn. This is what makes a Cooperstown trip special, because you don't have that chain hotel, mega hotel, convention hotel feeling. You're staying within minutes of everything there is to see and do in the town. There are restaurants, there are shops, and it's a residential feel. You're staying in somebody's home, and you get the atmosphere.
And we have already, for those of you who are familiar with the program, we have honored the great Dave Cooper in Cooperstown.
Yes.
Of course, Cooper was, Dave Cooper is a segment producer of the Travel World Radio Show. Yes.
And his reputation will live on.
That's right, Art. Yes. Yeah.
How long is the drive from Montreal, Steve?
Well, from Montreal, if you're coming down from Canada, you're looking...
You did it in 3 hours, Ed?
I believe so.
Three hours? What, were you flying? Macaroni.
Four or 5 hours if I would be more the recommended norm.
It's like Gilligan's Island, a 3-hour tour.
Yeah, then you'll
a
get
3-hour tour.
You better believe it. No, from Montreal, it's about 4.5, maybe 5 hours to Albany. And you take it easy. We went down, we had a good time. We took it easy, nice and slow. We went down the 87. we went, you know, we turned right at Albany and just took it easy. And it was nice because we arrived late at night when we did, on purpose. Yeah. Beautiful clear skies because you're out more or less in the countryside here. You can see the stars clear as day.
Oh, it's beautiful at night when you just walk outside and it's so quiet, so peaceful.
It is quiet, isn't it? You know, you didn't want to raise your voice or anything while you're talking and joking with your buddies. It was,
no,
you know.
There are some people wandering around just taking a late night stroll. It is small town America, that small town feel that many people thought had gone away years ago, but you can rediscover it here in Cooperstown.
Mark Barnwell, of course, from the Barnwell Inn, has told us that they often leave their car running. So take note at what kind of car they drive so you'll know when they are in the store if you want one of these automobiles.
Well, I left my room at the Landmark Inn. I didn't bother to lock my door. I said, oh, no. But Bob said, no, don't have to lock your door. Nobody here will do anything.
We're giving away cars here today. Somebody just dropped by, and I'm giving away a beautiful Honda Civic with a Quebec license plate. There, our winner.
Somebody needed a car to put the bumper stickers on.
Yes, yes, and to plaster them all over the wrestling show.
Oh, no, I thought Sean McMullen's car needs a good... he needed some stickers for a station that got better than a 0.7 in the ratings.
Oh, man, CINW rock bottom in the ratings.
We
are celebrating at Liberty Works.
Liberty Works did a lot better in the ratings than Metro Media.
Consistently, yes. I think WBZB does better at night when it's off the air, and then CINW does in prime time.
Yeah, WBZB, 1090 in Raleigh, a daytimer.
WBZB, of course, has the prefix WBZ. Oh. Hold your heart, Brian Kennemy.
Oh, he hears those letters, his heart pumps twice as fast.
I think there's a bit of redirection because they took their format from 10-10 wins in New York, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
10-10 wins.
He goes, how'd you know that? Well, we do have ears and they work.
Oh. When you listen to a program anywhere, you know the concept, you know the which consultant had been hard at work.
You know what else I didn't know about Cooperstown? I figured it'd be in the middle of, you know, some field someplace. Actually, it's right at the bottom end of a gorgeous lake. We went to the Ottosaga Hotel, of course, Saga again. We just came back from Iceland, and the word Saga was everywhere. So we have the Cooperstown Sagas, but here at the Ottosaga, gorgeous lake.
And people are out there in canoes, so there's a golf course next to the Ottosaga. You have the canoeing, water sports. It's a full resort community in Cooperstown. It's not just the Baseball Hall of Fame, although people know Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame. Yeah. We're talking about some other museums in the area and some of the other things to see and do in the area.
And some of the, of course, more interesting aspects. The Farmer Museum. I can't hold it in anymore, because the Fenimore Art Museum across the street, the Farmer Museum, there is a lady who makes wallpaper by hand, the old-fashioned way. That's Wendy Weeks. You're going to hear about this art. They make their own paint, and this woman is not only dedicated to her craft, does such a fantastic job of it. I was fascinated. I could talk to you for days about this. It is so interesting.
Their crafts and what we take for granted today as just very commonplace, how much intricacy and how much care and attention to detail had to be inputted during olden days in the 1700s and 1800s to make items that the crafts have practically disappeared. But you go to a location such as the Farmer's Museum to learn that those crafts are still a part of today, and
it's true how much you actually take
for
granted.
You can appreciate it. You appreciate it a lot more when you see.
Well, yeah, people just don't do that anymore, Steve and Will. I mean, you know, they should get back to the roots. Everyone's too busy going to stores looking for bargains.
Yeah.
You don't make it, and you'll appreciate it much more, and I'm sure it'll look much nicer.
Absolutely. No, that is a fact, Art, for sure.
For sure, and you can walk through the Farmer's Museum and see how other items of the day were made. So?
Well, we're going to come back from the break. We've got Jeff Idelson and Ed Anders waiting on deck for us. That's a choice of words here at the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes, and Tim Wiles and other guests.
Well, Tim Wiles, you're going to have a special treat from this gentleman coming up here on the Liberty Works Radio Network across America via satellite and, of course, on the Internet at www.libertyworksradio.com. Stay tuned to the Travel World Radio Show. I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Stephen Pickford.
Let's roll it. Across America via satellite.
You guys are insane.
Travel World will continue.
Travel World Radio Show. Across America via satellite. Harding, you're dead. 3, 2...
Attention inventors.
Inventech.
Have a great idea or invention? Then you need Inventech, the launchpad for new ideas. Inventech understands the needs of
two with but one inning left to play. And then when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could but get a whack at... He wiped them on his shirt, and while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye, a sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, but Casey stood a-watching it in haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. That ain't my style, said Casey. Strike one, the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore. Kill him! Kill the umpire! Shouted someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him.
New York. That was wonderful. We did a fantastic rendition of Casey at the Bat. Now we have with us, of course, Ed Landers. Stephen?
Yes, Ed Landers is the president of the Cooperstown Chamber of Commerce, and he joins us
president
now.
President of the Chamber.
Yeah. He's going to let us know on some of the things other than the Baseball Hall of Fame, which draws people every year to Cooperstown.
That was fantastic.
Thanks.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say welcome, Steve and Willem. It's terrific that you came here. We're delighted to just explain a little bit about Cooperstown here.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before, this is a multi-dimensional place. It's the Hall of Fame, obviously, is the centerpiece here. It's what we get our notoriety from, and it's just a museum of extreme excellence. In that regard, they're always in the process of upgrading. A lot of the displays and exhibits are dynamic in the sense that they're continually changing. And this is great because we have a lot of visitors that like to come back year after year. And it's fun to just see this as they come back and start talking about the new things there. But in addition to that, we have, you mentioned before, the lake. It's a 9-mile-long, crystal-clear lake. It used to be called, or was dubbed, Glimmerglass by...
Glimmerglass, yeah, with good reason. It's a gorgeous lake. I mean, you want to come here sometimes just for the resort of the lake.
Exactly. So that adds a lot to it. We also have two other world-class museums. We have the Farmers Museum, which you have mentioned before, and that's a 1840s working village that is just always in the process.
The Farmers Museum. That was easily, far and away, one of the most interesting surprises that we have ever seen up here in upstate New York. We were not expecting to be such a fascinating exhibit.
And it's really family-oriented. Kids just love it.
Exactly. And this goes back 50, 60 years from its inception. And the last 3 years, they are completely redoing it insofar as making it as authentic as is possible.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really quite something. We have the, in addition to that, the Fenimore Museum, which is a world-class art exhibit.
That's right.
They have the Hudson River School of Paintings there. They have one of the finest folk art collections in the country.
And they also... landscape, so it really captures the essence of what the area was like in the 1800s.
Exactly.
The only exhibit that you do not have at the Fenimore Museum is Art Farley, who belongs in another kind of an art museum.
Well, I'll let you explain that, Willem.
We'll
go on. They also have the American Indian Museum wing, and that's just going to great acclaim also.
What a beautiful exhibit. The way it's put together is so meticulous. And they feature the American flag in American Indian art, which I thought was a really fascinating exhibit. Apparently they thought that the American flag would bring some kind of special power within their own artwork, if you like.
So the Native Americans did focus on that quite a bit, and that started to be developed.
Yeah.
And again, it's the museum that has brought this out to our attention, and they have interpreters there, people that are giving guided tours and explaining all the things going on within the museum. So it's really quite...
Yeah, Tune on Liberty Works Radio Network across America via satellite. I'm Willem Backus with Stephen Pickford in Cooperstown.
I'm Art Farley.
Across America via satellite.
Something the banshee. The hell is a banshee?
Travel World Radio Show.
Good job, Ed.
Good job.
Finally.
Welcome back to Travel World with Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, and the gang here in the beautiful Baseball Hall of Fame courtyard here in Cooperstown, New York. Steve?
Nice day here, and sitting outside the Baseball Hall of Fame, what Cooperstown is all about. And we talked earlier with Ed Landers from the Chamber of Commerce.
Who let us know that there was much more to Cooperstown than just the Baseball Hall of Fame.
More than just the Hall of Fame, but of course the Hall of Fame, what would be a visit to Cooperstown without a visit to the Hall of Fame? And joining us now is Jeff Idelson from the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, Jeff, tell us a bit about the Hall of Fame.
Well, Willem, it's a wonderful place to visit. It's 60,000 square feet of museum space. We have three floors of exhibits and 165,000 artifacts in our collection, with a library of another 2.5 million pieces. Make sure that the visit is complete for anyone that wants to come that likes baseball.
Definitely. You don't have to be a rabid baseball fan to enjoy it. I brought along a research assistant for Travel World who actually is a rabid baseball fan. And myself, who I'm a casual interest. I mean, I like baseball, but I mean, it's not that I know the names of everybody and everybody who's been somebody in baseball, and still it's enjoyable for everybody. You see kids, today we have some Boy Scouts of America troop that came by for a visit. This is a place for just about anybody to enjoy it.
You will find something to enjoy. It follows the complete history of the game, right from its early beginnings, right through to the modern day. So you can find something, artifacts pertaining to your favorite player, your favorite team. The complete history, and you have a moving collection, and that not every piece in your collection is out there. You have it archived, and you update or modify the exhibits on a periodic basis.
Steve, probably 40% of our collection is on display at any one time. As is the case with any museum, you need to rotate, and you have loan exhibits. And baseball's been so interwoven with American culture for so long that the exhibitry really affects the multiple generations that come here daily. It's not unusual to see three, sometimes even four generations of a family. Perhaps they haven't spoken in the car for the past few hours because they don't have a lot to talk about, but when they come here, they have the common thread of baseball and their era as it relates to it.
It was fascinating. We spent 3-4 hours, and we, even though we saw everything, we couldn't read everything. If you stop to read everything, you better spend a good day or more.
Some people say 2 or 3 days.
2 or 3 days to see it.
It is kind of neat. It's not just like a museum, like the McCourt Museum in Montreal that has the baseball exhibit going on, although that is wonderful and very interesting in and of itself. They have the Hall of Fame Gallery, which they have these plaques for all the famous players. People who've been inducted into the Hall of Fame, as it were. And then they've got exhibits, you know, they have this big thing about home runs, and you walk up, there's Snoopy and Charlie Brown are in the Hall of Fame. They got a whole thing about that. They got a library where you can do research, so if you really do want to find out all those obscure facts that may stump Elliot Price or Mitch Melnick.
Yeah, like who won for the Yankees against the Kansas City Royals in Game 5 of the 1979 American League playoffs.
What was the downward angle of the pitch used by Warren Spahn in the series of 19 whatever it was? I mean, yeah, but you do that. Which one is that, Mitch?
Oh, it's Speedy.
Okay, great. Anyhow, be that as it may.
You market the Hall of Fame as well as with the Fenimore and with the Farmers Museum. You can buy one admission ticket and get a discount at all three.
Well, we're very proud of all three museums here in Cooperstown, and as such, we have our three-way ticket so that anybody that comes here will certainly want to take to the Hall of Fame specifically would want to take advantage of Fenimore Art Museum and the Farmers Museum. Absolutely. There's something for everyone at all three museums.
Oh. Well, especially if you like baseball that much. I mean, for a real baseball fan, I mean, baseball and apple pie goes together like a hat in the mitt for America.
And you can get some good apple pie over at the Fenimore, and the nice desserts in the Fenimore Cafe, so you can combine the experience. Now, what are some of the upcoming exhibits? What, for example, talking about the roving exhibits or the moving exhibits, what is on-site now and what is planned over the upcoming months?
Well, we have on display, we just opened, you talked a little bit about the Peanuts exhibit, which is a great tribute to Charles Schulz and his 50 years of doing baseball strips.
Yeah, that was fun.
Very much a great ambassador for baseball. You wouldn't think of such in the comic section, but it's been an intensely popular exhibit. We have an exhibit on the 2000 inductees that are going to be inducted on July 23rd here in Cooperstown. Sparky
that'll
Anderson,
be a weekend, yeah.
Carlton Fisk, Tony Perez, Bid McPhee, and Turkey Stearns. And in addition to the exhibits, we have a number of wonderful museum programs throughout the year. We have Phil Rizzuto coming in July, Tom Seaver in September, and then even right through the winter, we have a great cultural series where we combine with the Fenimore Art Museum and the Farmers Museum as well. So we always have something going on the year-round here in Cooperstown.
So if you've already been to Cooperstown once, you owe it to yourself to come on a regular basis, make another trip, because you'll see something different and something new.
I've lived here for 6 years and I see something new every day.
Everybody seems to want to move here to Cooperstown when they come into this place. Actually, we have a story coming up in about a second or two. Anything I'll ask to say about the Baseball Hall of Fame?
All I can say, Willem, is that if you have any doubts about thinking about coming, you really should check out our website at baseballhalloffame.org, where you will see many online exhibits, which will give you a taste of what's here in the museum.
Sounds fantastic. We have a story of people who came to Cooperstown on a regular basis and liked it so much they moved here, bought themselves a bed and breakfast. I am talking, of course, about Tara and Mark Barnwell, who are kindly some of the hosts that are hosting us here at their own bed and breakfast. Tara, welcome to Travel World.
Thank you.
So tell us, you're originally from, I was talking with Mark a little bit about this, and he was born in Georgia, lived in Alabama for a little while, down in Tampa, and then you used to spend Christmas seasons here in Cooperstown, so you decided to buy your own place and move here.
Actually, what we did is we moved up here from Tampa. We were coming here for about 10 or 12 years for every Christmas, and once you come here, you just absolutely fall in love with the village. It's very much like a Norman Rockwell scene.
Yeah, I can see that.
And in Christmas time, they pipe music up and down the street.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's just great. And we kind of got tired of the weather in Tampa and said, what do you want to do?
Tired of the weather in Tampa?
It was so hot. At 6 o'clock in the morning, when we opened the door to take the dog out, it would take your breath away.
On you.
The humidity and the
live there.
Hurricane watch. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I think Einar Magnusson up in Reykjavik is going to have a few words with you about that one.
Yeah, but we wanted a change, and so I came up here.
Change,
and
I understand, yes.
We have world-class opera, which I don't think anyone has mentioned, Glimmerglass Opera, right on the lake up here.
You're part of that.
Yes, I am. I'm the marketing director, and it's a festival season from July through August.
The marketing director, yes.
And it's doing quite well, and a lot of our guests are opera people.
Really?
So we bought this huge house right here in the middle of the village, and Mark renovated it. And we opened up 3 seasons ago, and it's great. We love it here.
What a beautiful thing. I noticed the attention to detail. This is an 1850 house.
It was built in 1850.
Right.
And it's on one of the largest lots in the village. It's actually, I believe, on 3 lots.
Really?
And we completely renovated it, put up walls, added, I think, 5 bathrooms. So it's a lot to keep clean, but we love it.
I noticed the attention to detail, though. I mean, among the fixtures that you got to match all kinds of patterns and whatnot. It really is. There's a theme in every room.
Yes, there is, and we don't have the rooms that are named. It happened to be that one's the yellow room, which you're staying in, one's the burgundy room, and it came about because when he was renovating, we'd say, where's the ladder, where's the hammer? Well, it's in the yellow room, so that's kind of stuck, so now they're all different colored names.
Which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. How long have you been running your bed and breakfast?
This will be our 3rd season open. Mm-hmm. We bought it in November of 97 and opened up in July of 98.
That's fantastic.
Well, it's the attention to detail and the small town feeling that is captured in the fact that Cooperstown is a town of bed and breakfast. You don't really have that. You don't have the chain hotels. You don't have the large scale properties. You capture the feeling still that you're staying in a small town much more with the 1850, 1860.
The warm welcome and the hospitality, and easily the best food we've had in Cooperstown.
Ah, thank you. Mark's the chef.
Mark's the chef, but boy, I mean, they say real men don't eat quiche. You got to try his. It's good. One of your favorite meals there.
Everything he does is my favorite, I think.
Oh, yeah?
He doesn't cook anything that is...
it's good. Actually,
not good.
I heard you're not in charge of bacon anymore. So.
No, I'm not. And it's all low fat, of course.
Of course.
How's your apple pie?
Her apple pie is delicious.
He makes a killer apple pie.
You should have seen...
He did this apple thing with walnuts the other morning. Ay, 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 Art, you would have just loved it.
Well, orange then you juice, best apple be bringing cider. A piece of apple pie.
You know what we'll do? We'll put it in an envelope and we'll mail it to you, Art.
Yes, that's a good idea.
There you go.
We'll try to remember that for when he leaves tomorrow.
Actually, we're going to send a case of peaches to Bonnie.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it out there. You sound like you're having a lot of fun.
Oh, we are. The sun is out here in front of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and it's a beautiful spring day here in Cooperstown.
We have a few seconds, a bit more to talk about. Give us the telephone number. How do people reserve a room? How do people book a stay in your bed and breakfast?
You can give us a call at the Barnwell Inn, 607-547-1850.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also on the Chamber of Commerce page, which Ed Landers had mentioned before.
Uh-huh.
Just look us up, and we're also getting in the next week barnwellinn.com website.
Okay. So you have your own website, and you can check out all the information
right
on the Barnwell Inn as a
you
place
to stay.
You want
to give the phone number one more time, and then we're going to break.
Sure. 607-547-1850.
Treat yourself to the Barnwell Inn. It's Will and Backus, Stephen Pickford. Stay tuned following the break. It's the Travel World Radio Show. So keep on
rocking me, baby. You're listening to Travel World. So here we are. Will and Stephen.
That's the opera on you.
Liberty Radio Network. Radio via satellite.
Now, you think I can do that for an hour and 15 minutes tomorrow?
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're a coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
Hey, funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach too?
Yes.
Do you know the fellow's name?
Oh, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name?
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
that's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Baseball classic of all time. Who's on first? Abbott and Costello. Yeah, we had to lead back with that. Here at the
great lead in. Stephen Pickford with Willem Backus here at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York.
We and Art Marley in Montreal.
You bet. We have a real special treat for you today. As we mentioned, as we travel along different places, we find certain exhibits or what have you, which are an unexpected real treat. And this is no exception. We have Wendy Weeks with us. From the wallpaper museum, not
the
museum,
farmer's museum,
farmer's museum
with
the wallpaper exhibit.
Wallpaper exhibit.
She's what they call a wallpaper stainer. Now, walking into this, I said, well, my sister was pretty good at that, and so was I when I was a kid. But no, when they say wallpaper, see somebody who actually makes the prints on wallpaper. And sometimes if you've it never really occurs to you to stare at a piece of wallpaper wondering how they actually put that print on there and how they may have done that in years gone by. But Wendy has got this down to a science. And actually, can you tell us a little bit more about it, Wendy?
Sure. First of all, thanks a lot for coming into the museum yesterday, Stephen and Willem. And I appreciated the nice Liberty Works Radio Network bumper sticker you gave me, so I thought I'd bring to you some handmade bookmarks with
thank you.
Old-fashioned
oh, beautiful.
Wallpaper
thank
on them
you.
With
oh, wow.
a Farmers Museum logo on it.
I thank you very much.
Yes, in those days they didn't call it wallpaper, they called it paper hangings because it was
okay.
a cheaper way of putting something decorative on the walls as mm-hmm. opposed to tapestries or embossed leather. And the people making wallpaper were called paper stainers. And
okay.
I kind of laugh because I think of a nice little French poodle with
yeah.
a pink bow in my hair. But actually, a stainer in those days, in the 19th century, were painters, interior and exterior painters.
Right.
So if I was paper printing, you would think that I was doing newspaper. But being a paper stainer, I'm putting paint on paper, and that's how wallpaper was made.
It's really neat. You have this wallpaper border up. I mean, just a simple wallpaper border, an example, and it takes six different run-throughs to actually make this. You
mm-hmm.
you actually take a roll. What's the average length of the rolls that you do? Is it 18 feet? Or
we're doing
like
18 feet. In those days, an English standard was 36 feet. Well,
okay.
I only have a 19 by 20 workspace, so
okay.
I've cut it down into half into
sure.
an 18-foot roll, which is a little longer than what was now called a single roll of wallpaper. And each color on a wallpaper has to be a separate block of wood. So that's why there's a series of steps in order to make a wallpaper.
It's a little like rubber stamps where you have to align them perfectly. And you gave me the trick to do that yesterday.
Yeah.
I never knew how they would line these up and register them all perfectly. But there's actually cue marks that if you look at a pattern on wallpaper, you see there are the cue marks.
That's right.
You can see that. And then you actually line up the blocks without, and it's like rubber stamps. Here's one color, two colors, three and four.
That's right. A lot of people think we're stenciling, but if you think about it, stenciling is an open area that you're putting paint in so you can see where you're painting, whereas a block, you can't see the bottom of the block. So
right.
We have a series of nails on the side of the block that create the registration marks for putting each block down.
So they're all perfectly aligned. So you do one, and then that will create the pattern for all the rest.
That's right.
But it's still quite an art to it. Yeah.
Now, after you make the wallpaper, these you don't sell complete rolls, but you were telling us that you can still get a sampling of the work that you do on site.
That's right. When we're making a roll of wallpaper, like they did back then, sometimes they'd use the leftover wallpaper mistake where the mistakes were not, which it's easy to make mistakes on this kind of wallpaper.
Sure.
But they'd put them on hat boxes or band boxes, fire boards, which were fire screens made of wood, put into the chimney openings when you're not using the fire, and on inside of trunks. So we use our remnant papers for those things. And these wonderful bookmarks.
And the bookmarks.
Well, yeah, they are. Now, you also make your own paint. Here's the thing. It's one thing to have these blocks, and in the old days, they would actually hand-carve them.
Mm-hmm.
But you, just for the sake of expediency today, we use a bit of modern technology to laser-carve them. Blue.
That's right. We wanted to go back to an authentic application on these wallpapers, and acrylic paint just doesn't do it. So what we decided to do was go back to the old formulas that we could find in 18th century records of how paint was made. We take our chalk and our water and our clay, soak it down, and then we put pigments into that, and then we use hide glue, animal skin glue, or the glue that carpenters used to use, and that's what makes it stick to the paper.
Yeah, I used to always wonder, how does glue work? You explained it to me. It's actually protein.
It's protein and collagen.
Yeah.
When you're cooking down a good skin, whether it's beef or horse or rabbit,
yeah.
You're going to get those molecules that are going to break down and eventually
sure.
become gelatinous and
well,
sticky.
Well, these are the answers you get by visiting the Farmers Museum because 1840s, 1850s, town moved the buildings on site, and you visit the blacksmith, the pharmacy, lawyer's office, the tavern, the animals that are the actual breeds that were on the farm.
That's right.
At that era, sometimes they're a little different from the breeds of chickens or cattle that we see today, but they try to make it as authentic as possible to get that central New York farm town experience, including growing hops on site, because this area was a big hop growing region in the mid 1800s.
Yes, the Farmers Museum not only does wallpaper, which does seem kind of odd, but we have a village of 1840s buildings, so we can discuss and explain and show and tell about the architecture of the time and how people lived. So we have a social, economical array of interest and experience. We also have an agricultural part of the Farmers Museum, of course, and originally that's where it originated, was just collecting tools and implements of the farm. We are doing heritage breeds. We're also doing agricultural exhibits. We have the hops exhibit, which is a wonderful exhibit. We're doing exhibits like quilting exhibits, and in a few years, a dairy exhibit. So we're all pretty excited about the changes going on at the Farmers Museum.
Well, the children were just flooding off of the school buses and the tour buses. This was a big thing for them to see what a working farm was like in the mid-1800s.
Wendy, you are a true crafts person.
Thank you very much, Willem.
Very fascinating having you on the show. And do you have anything else you'd like to say on the air?
No, I just hope everyone will come out to the Farmers Museum and explore what history was like.
Wow, it's fantastic. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you for days and not run out of things to ask you.
Well, you can come back anytime, Willem.
Someone who has, really, you've got to come and see this place. And very seldom you actually see an interpretive actor, but you're not an actor, you actually are the craftsperson. So you really can get the knowledge that you want. It's one of the things we enjoy doing every time we travel, is learning new things.
And it's a full day of learning because you're across the street from the Fenimore Art Museum, and combine the two, and with the mission with the Baseball Hall of Fame, get the 3-in-1 admission, and make it 3 full days in Cooperstown. Cooperstown is more than just the Baseball Hall of Fame, although that is, of course, still a central attraction for people to come here. Cooperstown, 70 miles west of Albany, conveniently located with flights now with Southwest Airlines. Numbers again, Cooperstown Getaways, 888-875-2969, www.discovercooperstown.net, the Baseball Hall of Fame at 888-HALL-OF-FAME, or www.baseballhalloffame.org. And I'm staying at the Landmark Inn. Well, Willem was at the Barnwell Inn. The Landmark Inn telephone number is 607-547-7225, landmarkinnbnb.com.
And again, it's a great place to go, not just for the Baseball Hall of Fame. They have the three museums you got to see, the Fenimore Art Museum.
Yeah, and a walking downtown area, small town feel, the trees, the friendly people saying hello and good morning and
we
good afternoon.
We opera because...
we're being told, come on, to say Glimmerglass Opera as well. So.
Sing for us, Tara. Sing opera.
You wouldn't want me to. Yeah.
Well, you said opera, you can sing.
You know, there was an opera about Casey at the Bat just a few years ago.
There's a baseball combination with the opera.
And that's the way to do it.
next week, I'll be talking to Jim Lamberti down at the Inn at Essex, New England Culinary Institute.
With the Mexican ambassador.
Yes, and we'll have Neil Drabkin talking about another part of New York State. He was down in New York City. He's a good friend of Paul Schaefer on the David Letterman show, and he was down there on the set, as well as at the Hamptons on Long Island. So Neil Drabkin, Montreal talk show host, next week on Travel World.
Join us again for Travel World. I'm Willem Backus.
I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Art Farley. Have a good week, everyone, and have a safe drive home.
Join us again next week on the Travel World radio show, across America via satellite.
Travel World is produced in Montreal by the NASCAR Marketing Company. I'm Willem Backus.
Is Liberty Works Radio. If you'd like an audio copy of any of our programs, please call 410-857-5600. Thank you for listening.
This is Liberty Works.